How glorious is the life of God. I want to give to you what he wants you to have. So I'm trying very hard not to be overtaken by his spirit so that I can't. I want to talk to you out of Matthew 6, but the only thing that keeps rising up inside of me like a artesian spring is he is life. It's not what you touch on this earth, my dear friends. It's not what you long for. It's not what you see. It's not what you hear. He is life. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is all you need in this life. Until you are filled with him, owned by him, saturated with him, living in the life of his spirit, you cannot understand the measure of life you've been granted. God is calling the church to rise up out of the life that they know in the world and into himself, where there is abundant life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the truth. And he is the life. He calls you on his way. He calls you to enter into his way through the portals of truth. How do you find truth? You find it in the Savior. He is the truth. He, say please, he is the truth. Christ is truth. Now, in me, that is very big right now. When I say it, it sounds like I'm negating the whole value of everything he is. Because how do you say with words what he is? How do you describe truth? Well, lots of authors tried. Genesis to Revelation. He is truth. Let me tell you an experience I had once. I'll keep it short and not tell you the whole experience, only what pertains to what I'm trying to give you right now. Suddenly, my eyes were open, and I could see Jesus standing on the threshold of heaven. As he stood there, he had on his head a crown of thorns. But the crown of thorns throughout this visitation would appear to be a crown of thorns, then only moments later, a crown of light. I couldn't even see the thorns, just a crown of light around his head. Then a crown of thorns, then a crown of light, then all the time he's revealing truth to me. This is happening. He's standing there, and he's revealing mercy. He is mercy. Mercy begins to emanate out of every part of his being. How did I know it was mercy? How can I tell you what mercy looks like when it is emanating from the Lord Jesus Christ I can't. All I know how to tell you is what was emanating from him is that he is mercy. And it was mercy that was emanating and flowing down to me on earth. It reached a crescendo and then began to dissipate. And then what came in its place was grace. He is grace. He doesn't have grace. He is grace. Big difference. Grace began to emanate from him. Every part of his being flowing down into me. Then that began to dissipate. And love began to fill every part of his being and flow out in light. Each mercy, grace, love, each revelation of himself was released in great light. Love began to flow from him, emanate from him, flow from him. Stream down into me. Now you can imagine what's happening to me on the earth. Then, goodness. He is goodness. Isn't that incredible? He doesn't have goodness. He is goodness. He is goodness. Lord, you are so good. He is goodness. He is goodness. His goodness began to emanate from him in this glorious light and stream down and fill me. Oh, on and on the revelations went. And mercy doesn't look like goodness. Goodness doesn't look like love. Grace doesn't look like mercy. Every aspect of his glorious person looks different. Righteousness. He is righteousness. And it began to emanate from every part of him in great light and stream down and enter into me. He is holy. His holiness began to emanate from every part of his person in great light and stream down and enter into me. He is truth. How do you describe that Christ is truth? Let me tell you one of the beautiful aspects of the fact that he's truth. May I? You're going to love this one. There is no lie in him. Have you ever looked at anything and the revelation fills your being that what you're looking at is filled with deception? Hidden. You can't see it. But suddenly you see it. I don't know how to tell you what it feels like to look at the Lord and see that he is truth and there is no lie in him. He cannot lie. He will not lie. There is no deception in him. Whatever he says, he means. You can believe it with all of your heart. Because he cannot lie. There is no lie in him. So for this reason, you can say he is truth. He is the essence and the character of God the Father. If Christ could lie, you and I would not exist. We exist today because He is truth. Only truth, complete truth, can create and uphold with the word of His power. Isn't that exciting? You hear Him speak, and you say in your heart, is that true? That's true. If He spoke it, it's true, because there's no lie in Him. Please, I'm trying to help you understand something, to build your faith. Christ cannot lie, because there is no lie in Him. There's no untruth in Him. There is no deception in Him. If He said it, that word is full of power. It is full of life, because He is truth. It emanated from Him in every part and flowed down and entered into me. Now you see how I'm struggling up here tonight. What do you think I was going through, having Him stream all that stuff into me? Well, I'll tell you what happened. I became so filled with God, with the life of God, my spirit couldn't contain it anymore. My soul couldn't contain it anymore. So I just left my body. Now, you may not believe you can do that, but He is truth. And if He wants you to do that, you do it. So I began to leave my body and fly up to Him. I was overwhelmed by who and what He is. I left my body and I was going up to Him, and I was at the ceiling knowing I was about to go through the ceiling when He said, it's not time yet. Go back to your body. And as soon as I entered back into my body, He let me feel and experience the spirit of the world. I felt bitterness. I felt hatred. I felt deception. I felt lies. I felt unforgiveness. I felt ruthlessness. I felt jealousy. I felt every evil thing. It felt like I was standing in the midst of the worst ghetto where gang wars were going on all the time, where you could feel the hatred in the air, the strife, the competition, the murder. That's the word I want. It was a hatred so intense, it was filled with murder. Every evil work. And it was piercing my soul. And I cried out. I said, God, this is so frightening. What is this? What are you letting me feel? Lust. You know, every worldly lasciviousness. Deception. Did I say that already? Lying. The spirit of lying was as painful to my soul as the spirit of murder. Lying is a being. I felt the persona of lies. Am I making sense to you? I was so afraid. I was so afraid I didn't want to breathe. I've never known such fear. It was so intense. Lord, what are you showing me? He said, it's the life of the world. Then, when I couldn't take any more, there Jesus was. And once again, the lessons of heaven. And one by one, his virtues, flowing, emanating from him, flowing down to me. Now listen to what I said. I told you I saw deception. I saw lies, lying, untruth. And I saw truth, wherein there is no lie in him. I saw light. He is light. And I saw there is no darkness in him. You don't realize how much darkness is in the human heart until you see the light of Christ. I saw that there's no shadow in his turning. Why is this so meaningful to us? Because as I saw that, I realized there's nothing he has ever said that comes out of anything but the purest heart. I saw that when Christ disciplines you, it comes out of the purest heart. It is love that causes him to discipline us. Love. When he disciplines us, it's so painful to him because he knows we're going to suffer. But love makes him do it. And there's never any other motivation except love. When your parents used to discipline you, you could feel the anger. Am I right? But with Christ, it is pure love. When he takes you through a time of suffering, it is pure love. Are you with me? Pure love. And I want you to know, I saw it, that when he ordains suffering in our lives, he suffers with us to such a degree, such an extent, that it is a great sacrifice to allow suffering in our lives. He sacrifices his own freedom from suffering. He sacrifices his own right never to feel affliction. When he has to discipline us and allow affliction to come, or train us and allow affliction to come. Sometimes it's not even discipline. He's just training us. That's all he's doing. Training us for something better, bigger, higher, more noble than we've ever known before. Because he suffers as much as we suffer, he embraces suffering for the purpose of training us. Isn't this marvelous? Isn't this incredible? Such an amazing quality of love. Isn't it true? He is the life. He is the life. How do I say this? How do I demonstrate it? He is the life. When you came into Christ, You pass through into him, into the sphere of Christ, into the sphere of his life. What he wants to teach us in this life, please try very hard to understand this. What he tries to help us understand in this life is when we pass through into his life, he became the mediator of everything concerning us. Anything that comes into our life from that point on, good or bad, must pass through him to touch us. He becomes the mediator, not just one who prays for us, not just one who bought salvation for us, but every minute of every day, he is mediating every part of our life. His goal is to so refine us that we become one with His life. We're able to bear His life, contain His life. Doesn't that sound extraordinary? Doesn't it make you want to run to the teacher? Even if it means passing through the discipline, so you can have the life, walk in the life. That's why the Bible encourages life in the Spirit. Because that's the only way you can walk in the fullness of His life, is to walk in the fullness of His Spirit. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what you've been waiting for, right? Is to figure out what I'm saying and how it pertains to this passage, right? That's it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will enacted in heaven? It is enacted by the Spirit of life. You think, I want to be there. And just like that, you can be there. You don't have to be. You may want to fly there instead of be there. Huge difference. If you want to fly, the Spirit of life will carry you there. If you want to be there, you suddenly are there. I've been to heaven many times, and this is the way it works. If you want to walk there, you can. But nevertheless, the Spirit of life is carrying you. Your spirit is now so enlarged that it has become enmeshed with the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ. That's what makes heaven so wonderful, is that everything corresponds to Christ. Everything obeys Him. Every thought obeys Him. Every deed obeys Him. If you're on the furthest ends of heaven and the Father says to an angel, go get Nita, the angel doesn't have to say, okay, where is she? What are the coordinates? Which Nita do you want? The angel immediately knows, because his life fills the angel, and his counsel. So the angel goes and gets Nita from the furthest bounds of heaven. And, you know, I've seen angels fly, and I've seen angels be, where they were here, and now they're here. And it happens in a split second of time. These things are wonderful, aren't they? How does that help you live life on this earth? Well, you had no business living life except in the Spirit of Christ. To become one with His life, that is your call. That's what you were created for. You were created to live above the world system and to rule and reign. Does that sound familiar? Rule and reign with Christ in this life. Why were you created? Become one with this life. You become one with this life, you live in the life of worship. Praise God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How the world will change when that happens, but moreover, how you and I will change when Christ owns us completely. How your life will change. I think about Abraham and Sarah, you know, leaving Ur, stopping over in Haran. Again, God says, I want you to go. He's called into the promised land. And I'm thinking, I wonder what Sarah thought. You know, life in Ur was kind of worldly, but you could just kind of float around the outskirts of that and have a lot of conveniences, the modern conveniences. And this husband of mine is telling me he wants to go on a trip. To where? He doesn't know. I have to leave my big, beautiful home behind. How do I possibly take my whole wardrobe? What am I going to do without my friends? What about all of my expensive dishes? Our nice, comfortable furniture? How do I go with all this? And he says, God told him to do this to me. So they head out, and they stop over in Haran. And so she's thinking, right, this is the big trip we were supposed to go on, and here we are in Haran. Life was okay in Ur. Why are we in Haran? I guess God changed his mind. You know how women think. Then God apparently speaks again and says, you didn't stop where I wanted you to stop. You stopped in Haran, and I want you to go on into the promised land. Now listen, this is where I'm going. She loved Abraham. She married him. He was a great prince, a man of great virtue. But when God met him and said, I am El Shaddai, be perfect. Something transpired in Abraham. He became, little by little, another man. Now, she's without the furniture, she's without the wardrobe, she's without the friends, she's without all the things that she once thought was a very wonderful life, and she is roaming around in the desert. But the man who is her husband has become so beautiful because he is bearing the marks of Christ, the nature and the character of Christ. She doesn't miss all that earthly stuff anymore. When you leave it all behind, I'm not asking you to move out into the street, but what I am saying is, when your life is no longer functioning out of the matrix of the world, the spirit of the world, and your life is coming out of the life that is flowing out of Christ, and you are transformed into his image, none of the stuff that you had to leave behind matters anymore. In fact, you come to realize you never really needed it anyway. You need only him. Do you understand? Raise your hand if you understand. Darkness is reforming the world. And it's going to get so bad. But it never has to affect you, because you belong to God. You are called to rule and reign over that darkness. You are called to walk in a place that darkness cannot touch. That's what he called you to do. That's what he created you for. My strong encouragement is to leave it before it's harder to leave, because the forces get so great. Leave it now when the grace is abundant. Press into God. Pray. Pray. And here's another thing. Pray. Study the Word. Meditate upon the Word. Know the Word. And add one more thing to it. Pray. He is love. He'll make it worth your while. He is wonderful. He is powerful. He is able. He is the life you want. He is the life you need. Drink until it owns you. Well, we got it out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the life that is victory. Thank you for the life that is triumph. Thank you for the life that lifts us up out of the darkness beneath. I feel like God wants to heal bodies tonight. There's someone in here that you get, I don't know if you live with this pain or if it comes and goes, but it's a pain in your like mid area on the left-hand side. I don't know what's causing it. He's not telling me that. I just feel the pain, and he wants to heal that. He also wants to heal someone's right leg. He wants to heal the bone. If you have injury, if you have sickness, if you have infirmity, just come up here and let us pray for you. God wants to minister healing tonight.